Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When we get to the top six at six, I'll see if the Packers are done slapping the Bears around. Last I looked, there was a lightning delay. And
that was the last you looked. It didn't get any better, Steve. I got news for you.
That's what I heard, yeah.
You stopped at a good point.
If you're up at this hour, you probably didn't stay up to watch the ending. Unless you have to. Dave has to.
I did.
Bears lost last night. I think I said yesterday, hey, Jake, I don't know if you can pull the tape from the predictions yesterday. I think I said 31-7.
I think you did, too.
And the final score was?
It was 35-14.
That's close.
Yeah,
it's
pretty close.
It wasn't bad.
Close, yeah.
Pretty close. It wasn't bad. Too bad that wasn't your Wang Dang Doodle pick.
I'm very sorry I was right.
Yeah. Oh, I.
You know what's weird? You look at the statistics of that game, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you were dropped in from an alien planet. Pick a planet. Which planet would you like to be dropped in from?
Krypton.
Okay, so you're dropped in from Krypton, and maybe you didn't have your cable hooked up till the end of the game, and you missed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it, Krypton! And you look at the stats from the game, and it looks very competitive. I mean, yeah, you see a couple of interceptions. But the Bears offensively outgained the Packers.
I know. It's
a very even-looking game. And you look at the score and you go, how did that happen? Well, it happened because of three turnovers. Yes. It turned into scores.
Points off turnovers, 21-0. That's your ball game.
That's it.
And you've had two games on the road, and it's been the same story in both.
Will the Packers be any more beatable than they were last night? They had a mash unit on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean,
the rains came. Mother Nature had money on the Bears. That's why she tried to shut it down.
The triage at the 40-yard line.
I mean, they had it got bad for them. And obviously, Devontae Adams sounds like he's okay. You don't know what the
terrible hit.
Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. I haven't
terrible.
Trevathan's going to get suspended.
Yes, he should.
There's no quit. Yeah, that's what the rule is there for. But
and by the way, one of the Bears' best defenders. But the Bears coulda, shoulda won last night.
I don't know if they should have won because, I mean, still.
You're going to need a quarterback.
You are going to. And I think we will see the beginning of the Mitch Trubisky era
soon?
Against the Vikings a week from Monday.
Right.
I think this is it.
I'm just glad they didn't put him in last night.
Yeah, I am too.
Because he was returning texts and he had some things going on the side. He's a kid. You know, he's doing the social media.
I thought you were going to say Snapchatting.
He was Snapchatting. So cool to be in Green Bay. I've heard so much about it.
Oh, my God. Put the crown of thorns on my head.
Did you think, though, when the people started leaving for the weather delay, that if you weren't listening, I was watching it in a noisy place.
Oh, I had the sound down because I was on the phone. I thought people were just leaving.
Three people. Okay, it's only 14-0.
Yeah, it's just beginning
the
second quarter.
Not over.
I didn't realize there was lightning even.
Yeah.
It was really funny. I was at a meeting at the church last night, and I look at my text, and it says, lightning strikes have delayed the game. And I said to the priest, I go, oh, look, divine intervention at the Packer game.
That's exactly right.
We need it.
Or they were trying to shut the Bears down. They're going, I can't. Mother Nature going, I can't watch this.
Right. Close my eyes.
Let's continue with the top 66 with five items left.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
You've heard item number one. Here's item number two. Governor Rauner signed a controversial bill yesterday afternoon. He was invited on this show to discuss it. They chose not to get any deeper into it. However, it's a fairly politically complex measure that expands taxpayer-subsidized abortions for women covered by Medicaid and state employee insurance. A veto of the bill would have risked alienating a lot of suburban women, a key demographic in the Illinois statewide elections that Rauner needs to get reelected. Legislation also would prevent a trigger in current Illinois law that abortion rights supporters contend would make the procedure illegal in the state. So, in other words, if Roe v. Wade is overturned,
right,
the abortion law would continue.
Correct.
Here's what I understand the governor's position to be. Mm-hmm. That just because you're poor,
right,
doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to have the legal rights that other people have. And therefore, that's why Medicaid should pay in this case. For
right,
those of you who don't believe in this, and I certainly respect those beliefs, mm-hmm, you're going, well, I don't want my money to pay for abortions. Government should be paying for abortions.
Right.
That's the reason,
yes,
for this.
Absolutely. First of all,
it's the law.
Exactly. Roe v. Wade is legal. It's the law of the land. So expanding the coverage to continue the coverage, we should say, isn't so completely out of the ordinary. And as you just pointed out, there's two parts of this bill. Obviously, if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, it will still be legal to have an abortion here in Illinois. And then the second part, as you say, will expand it, the coverage for women and women covered by Medicaid and state employee insurance, which I don't understand. I guess I do, because abortion is such a hot button topic.
Yeah, about the hottest.
But he didn't do anything except I know Cardinal Supich took issue with it. Yeah, and he called Cardinal Supich before he signed it.
In April, he pledged to veto the bill. A lot of people see that now as just politics.
Mm-hmm.
In recent weeks, however, he indicated he was undecided on what to do. Cardinal Supich has said that Rauner went against his word and broke his promise. Vetoing the bill would have simply made poor women unable to afford to get abortions,
right,
therefore making the playing field not level.
You know, and they did a stat, too, and I'll have to get the exact number, but it's a very low number of women who actually take advantage of this.
Yeah, sure, of course it is.
The Medicare, yeah.
Medicaid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very small percentage, and the numbers were very high for cases of saving the life of the mother and rape being a reason.
Well, anybody, look, with all due respect to everybody's views, if you truly argue that a woman who is raped and impregnated, mm-hmm, or impregnated through incest, mm-hmm, shouldn't be entitled for consideration over what to do with her own body at that point, I don't know how to talk to you. That's a crime committed on someone, it's like saying, well, your husband beat you up, don't treat the bruises.
Roe v.
That's a minor comparison, a bad analogy, but you see where I'm going.
Right, and I don't want to get into an abortion debate or
trust me, we won't be.
But I'm telling you, it's the law of the land. So,
yeah, it is the law of the land. The trigger, it's interesting, because the trigger piece of this should probably make more people upset than the Medicaid
piece.
Because the trigger piece would then supersede a Roe v. Wade overturn going forward.
Right.
But the trigger piece isn't being discussed because it's a little more politically complex.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and with that, Chicago's going to sue Equifax over the big data breach. Chicago plans to sue the Credit Reporting Bureau, which disclosed a data breach affecting more than 140 million people. And since Abigail and her friends in the 21-month-old club don't have credit ratings, 140 million people means most adults in America.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The city of San Francisco sued Equifax on Tuesday as well. Mayor Emanuel said on a Thursday morning announcement, the city's consumer fraud ordinance and state laws force this to happen, and Equifax will see them in court.
Absolutely. Yep. 5.4 million Illinois residents were among the 143 million consumers affected by that breach. And why they have a decent, we can ask Karen Conti too, but why I think the city has a great chance of winning is that Equifax promised to notify consumers of any sort of issue or problem. And most people were not notified.
Yeah. And this happened months ago.
Yeah.
Months ago when they found out. And I don't know anybody that was notified until it broke. Next. The Mexico quake death total, now 343. Most collapsed sites have been cleared. $2 billion in damage minimally, while Hurricane Maria could be $95 billion for the storm and expected to go over $100 billion by the time all the math is complete. Yesterday, the assistant, an assistant cabinet position, was it Health and Human Services?
It was.
Tom Price's assistant?
Yes.
Used the term a good news story. And while it's completely tone deaf, I don't know. Look, I don't know this woman. I don't know if she's a good person, a bad person. I don't know. But there are times when people say things and because we automatically jump on every word that's said now. Well, that must be what you meant because you said it. And you must have meant it when you said it. And there's no turning back because that's who you are. I don't know. Maybe she's a terribly insensitive human being who is just blind to the suffering of what the people in Puerto Rico are going through. Or maybe she just said a dumb thing. I don't know. What doesn't change is the reality of what's going on the ground. People are scrambling for food, water, fuel, and cash. The entire island almost completely is without power. Outages are expected to last for months. 97% is one of the estimates of cell tower damage. Satellite phones are sitting on the port docks in trucks that haven't been delivered, along with medicine and food and other things, because they don't have people to drive the trucks. Property damage alone could be near $60 billion. Moody's estimates that hurricanes Irma and Harvey combined caused more than $150 billion in damages when those storms hit. So we're looking at $250 billion in damage from those three storms over the course of 2 weeks. Next. Emotional moment in Congress yesterday when House Majority Whip Steve Scalise returned in a surprising visit to Congress. First time he's been there since June 14th. Rather remarkable that he was even upright. He came in on crutches with his wife, said thank you to a lot of folks, got numerous standing ovations, and he will try to work here and there as his recovery continues. But I've spoken to many doctors about what happened to him, and his hip injury is just devastating. Mm-hmm. So he still has a long road to go, but pretty heroic moment yesterday. And speaking of that, Julia Louis-Dreyfus put out a statement yesterday, said 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. Today, I'm the one, as part of a statement that included these words. The good news is that I have the most glorious group of supportive and caring family and friends and fantastic insurance through my union. I love the fact she got a plug-in for the union because she's one of the richest women in Hollywood, and she could pay her own way if she wants to, but she wanted to make sure that the union got a plug, so good for her.
Yeah. I'm telling you, though, what a wonderful person. What a great Northwestern alum, obviously, Dave. And just what a powerful statement, though, when you click on the little Twitter link yesterday, the first word you see are 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. Today, I'm the one. Really powerful.
Yeah, Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, and Christina Applegate, who have both gone through breast cancer and have been successful in treatment and have come out on the other side, have got her back as well. Is it everybody else? It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, for crying out loud. It's Elaine.
Did you see
it? It's the vice president.
The Veep.
Did you see the post by Vice President Biden?
Yeah, the Veep's got to stay together.
Where they're walking down the aisle.
That's funny. It's funny. America Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men bring you that. We're back with Lou's First Call next. We need you on the phone now, 312-981-7200. Do you want to be Lou's first caller? We'll get to that in a second. And a first-time marathoner is here. What's it like to train for your marathon for the first time? A friend of mine's here. We'll talk about that coming up on 720 WGN.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Well, we just had 300 calls drop at the same time.
It's the time of the show.
In other words, you still have a chance, but you better make it quick. Otherwise, we're going to the texters. 312-981-7200 is the number. Good morning, Lou.
Hello there.
Hi. Well, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I have that, you know, that moment where you feel like, uh-oh, tickle in the throat, a little something going on.
Yeah.
And Abigail Grace she has Sunday morning church daycare.
Nice.
And she's a carrier. So there's a cold that's been bouncing around the Ross and Lauren and Abigail Grace house, I don't know, since she was born.
Right.
So I got a little something I'm right on the edge of.
Well, listen, you better buck up because Monday is your big show. So you got to show up.
Why? Can I have somebody fill in?
No.
This is show number 999 today.
Right. And I was thinking about this whole 1,000 show thing. You know, you've been on the radio about 500 years now because you're that old.
Well, let's go back to that. That would be 1980. You're right. 500 years.
I've always been good with the math. And so, I mean, you've in your lifetime done 1,000 shows, but I think the momentous thing is that you probably have not done 1,000 shows and never gotten fired.
No, well, here's the thing.
Right?
I've had to have this conversation many times.
Right. That's what people don't know about you. I mean, people know this about you, but you have like some record. You know the statistics about everything, right? Dave, in sports, can come up with all these statistics, right, about the first team that did that. And for you, there's a statistic in radio about how many shows you get to do before you get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hold the record.
Yeah, it shows per firing, SPFs.
I'm going to make you a big story on Monday.
What?
You're going to be a big story Monday.
What? Right.
So, this originally started off as a bit.
Yeah.
Wally did 20,000 shows at least. Bob right. Collins probably did 20,000 shows.
Well, they were talented.
That's a good point, too.
Right.
But then you're going, 1,000 shows at GN? That's a drive-by.
Right.
Not for me, pal.
Right.
Not for me.
No. Right.
So for me doing 10 years of the afternoon show mostly, the afternoon and the midday show,
right.
you know, before I was fired.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple
of times you get fired at GM?
Only once so far.
Oh, okay.
But that's like 2,500 shows probably in there. Yet.
Like I go so far.
But the 2,500 shows I did then, nobody cared. You know, the Star Wars bar people came in and it was all things. So not only I got rehired at the place I got fired from, and we did 1,000 shows. So that's why we're celebrating on Monday.
Right.
A milestone.
It's like dog years. Like my 1,000 shows is like 50,000 for someone else.
Right. Are they giving you the doggy glucosamine?
You know what? I could use it for all four of my knees.
Just the heartworm, Lou.
The heartworm, right.
Just the heartworm.
Make sure, and use as the front line so it doesn't get fleas and ticks.
I'm regularly medicated.
Because you've been there so long now that we're worried about, you know, you're getting sedentary.
Is your underwear tight this morning? You're coming hard at me.
No, I'm just, listen to me. I've known you a long time, and you, sir, have been nothing but good to me. And
that's not true.
And I only want to be good to you.
Well, you should come by Monday.
All right. Maybe I will.
Yeah, maybe I'll be hanging around with Al Roker.
I got a key card. I'll just come in.
Will there be
cake?
We're going to be at the Blackhawk store.
Oh, right. Up on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, you can get in there.
I can get in there.
Yeah, you should name it the front door. Rose is from Blue Island. You got a question for Lou?
Yes, I do. I wanted to find out if those electronic pest control things that you plug into the wall work. Or should I go with an actual exterminator to get rid of little critters?
Are we talking about rodents?
No, I'm just talking about ants and anything that comes in. Because my thing is I don't like spiders.
Yeah.
And if I get rid of the bugs, then hopefully I don't have any spiders. Yeah.
And I don't like spiders and snakes. And
what it takes to love me.
Right.
You foo.
All right. The electronic thing for insects and pests is not my first choice. I've got a couple items that work pretty well for rodents, but for pests, what I would tell you, you want to use bait stations. Like if we're talking about ants and spiders and stuff, Wet and Forget makes a terrific product for spiders called Mrs. Muffet's Revenge. That's a spray, and it really works well. For ants, there's an also revenge product by Bonide called Bonide Ant Revenge. And that works really well. As a bait, they take it back to the nest, and then they eliminate the colony. Those are two very good items. They're safe to use around pets, and I think you'll get better results than the plug-in stuff. And you don't have to hire an exterminator. I mean, if it's really bad and you can't control it, then it's time to get an exterminator come in here. But now we're talking about using, you know, much stronger chemicals. This is a way to eliminate them in a more environmentally friendly way.
My favorite pest control story is, remember Buzz Killman?
I do.
Buzz did the news for Brandmeier forever, and Buzz, fabulous guy. When Buzz was in Miami, and may or may not have had a long night the night before, he was in the bathroom, and living with a couple of guys back then, and he's in the bathroom, and there may or may not have been a mouse nearby. I say may or may not because Buzz, I don't think to this day, is sure that he saw what he thinks he saw. And there was a gun in the bathroom. And he shot the sink.
No, he didn't. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he missed the mouse, by all accounts, if the mouse, in fact, existed, and he shot the sink and other things. We don't recommend that either, by the way. You had a quick question?
Oh, Lou, what was the name yet? Last week you talked about the cabinet stain, where if you don't want to completely redo your cabinets, there's something kind of like a little finishing to...
Oh, it's Howard's Restore-A-Finish.
Howard's Restore-A-Finish.
That is what's called a wood amalgamator. And if you have sticky cabinets or they're just not looking great, they're a stained cabinet, this is great for fine furniture as well. You use quadruple zero steel wool with the grain, wear some gloves, go up back and forth, and then wipe it with a clean cotton rag. You will be amazed. It's like a facelift for your cabinet.
That's exactly what I need.
And then you look at your cabinet and goes, your cabinet had work. We'll come back with a big story next. Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
On 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I just felt like running. I just felt like running.
We couldn't get Forrest Gump. It's too early. But my friend Jackie Brege's here. Jackie and I bonded over a couple of charity interests. And she told me she's running in the Chicago Marathon this year. For the first time. First time in the Chicago Marathon. The big one. And I said, well, you got to come in. You got to come in. You got to talk about what it's like to be a first-time marathoner. All the stuff you go through. Not just a training, but, you know, if you're me, the need to stop immediately. And never do this again. So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you being here. We should probably mention the charities, right?
That would be great.
All right, let's go plug out. Who you want to plug first?
Okay, well, I am the executive director for Chat Effect of Chicagoland, and we're in the business of helping under-resourced youth. So this past year, we have partnered with Cornerstone, which is a homeless shelter for boys in Lisle, Illinois.
And until you brought this up to me, I didn't even know there was a homeless shelter for boys.
You know what? Not very many people do. And
are these runaways?
You know what? They're not runaways. A lot of them have really sad stories. A lot of them, both their parents have died, and no one has come forth to take care of them.
That's crushing.
It is crushing. Yeah. They all have different stories. So we found a need, and we kind of got involved with Cornerstone. So we're kind of providing things that Cornerstone can't provide for them.
Yeah, like our friends at MyPillow are stepping up.
Yeah, which is great. Incredibly
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah,
we provided them a birthday party. Some of these boys had never had a birthday party in their entire lives.
Wow.
We gave them a want, a need, and an experience. And just to show you, one of the boys who's no longer there, but his experience, out of anything he could have picked, was to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Is that right?
Oh, cool.
I mean, about taking the little things for granted, right?
So humbling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we do that. We've also, we're now doing blessing baskets for these boys, which we're giving them bedding that they can take with them and school supplies and hygiene products. And we also give them a $100 gift card because a lot of these boys come in, they have nothing but the clothes on their backs. So we're doing that, and then upcoming in November 11th, we are doing a room renovation for this Cornerstone home. So we want to provide, right now the rooms are very basic, but we want to make them more homey, more welcoming, just to bring a little bit more joy into their lives.
Yeah, the number one stress in your life shouldn't be where am I sleeping tonight, you know? So,
yeah.
And how old are these kids?
These kids are 13 to 18 years old. Boys.
A 13-year-old homeless kid.
Yeah.
Well, and they have no safety net. I mean, that's the sad thing. Like, you think about homeless kids at pad shelters with their parents, but
There's nothing to fall back on. Where do the kids come from? Where do they find the kids?
They come from all over.
So the authorities know about the shelter, what you guys are
doing. Some of them are found in pad shelter. Some of them are found sleeping in cemeteries where people have called and said, you know, we see kids sleeping out in, you know, in certain areas.
So as you drive to work on a Friday morning, just count your blessings and how lucky you are. You know what I'll have you do? But before you guys leave, by the way, your driver is still awake behind you this morning. He's playing the role of your husband and your driver. I'll have you give Joe a couple of links we can put up at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show so people can, you know, follow along and, you know, maybe kick some money in.
You know what? That would be great.
And Chat Effect, that's a wonderful Cook family. You know, I've had those folks on before. And their church, they go to the same church I do. And, and I actually played some golf with the dad many times, Jim. And Division One basketball player, home to play basketball with his Division One golf brother, great athletes. And Chad dropped on a court and didn't recover. And his heart just gave out. Nobody knew there was a defect. Nobody knew there was a congenital issue there of any kind. And I mean, it's tragic. What was he, 20 years old?
Yeah, he was 20 years old. You know, the crazy thing about this whole thing, how we fell upon Cornerstone, we were trying to find, like, what how could we pursue Chad's dream after he died? He had actually left a video that his parents found after he died. And on that video, it showed he wanted to help kids. He wanted to help kids that had no one.
Sure.
So I told Lori, I said, let me do some research on this because people were coming at us. How could we volunteer? How could we get involved? So I went online and I researched and I came across Cornerstone and I called them and I was shocked. Like homeless kids in, you know, suburban areas, I kind of felt like maybe as naive as it sounds, like that's an inner city problem. That's sure. not a suburban
problem. It's a wake-up call for everybody.
Yeah. So I called them. I got information. I got back to Lori and I said, I think this is it. I think this is where we really need to, you know, fulfill Chad's dream. And she's like, well, what's it called? And I said, it's called Cornerstone. And she started crying on the phone. And I was like, Lori, why are you crying? And she goes, that was Chad's favorite song.
Oh, you're kidding.
At church. And she goes, we played that at his memorial. And I said,
yeah, well, I
with my
now.
Whole
I was at the memorial. I remember.
Heart and soul, I was like, this is exactly
well, there's a message,
where we
huh?
need to be. Wow. Yeah. And I believe in signs. So
yeah,
I'm so like.
And Lori, I'm glad you mentioned Lori. What an amazing woman she is.
Oh, she's.
And the Sibs,
really,
brothers
really
and sisters.
Strong.
Chad and his girlfriend started this foundation when they were in college. Just a great kid. Great kid. And by the way, for any of you going, well, 20-year-olds don't drop dead. There must have been something else. There was nothing else.
Right.
This was a health thing
right.
that nobody knew, nobody saw.
Right.
All right, we haven't even touched on the marathon yet. We'll do that in a second at 720 WGN. Jackie Brage's here. Jackie is running, well, it's not technically your first marathon because you were saying off the air you ran one in Naperville, but it's your mm-hmm. first Chicago marathon.
Yes, this is the first big marathon that I've signed up for.
Why?
So. I signed up, well, number one, I wanted to do a big marathon. Number two,
you thought about it for a while.
I did. Actually, I was signed up last year to do it, but my son plays, hi, Kyle. He plays AAA hockey and...
you want to say hi to the rest of your kids for you? For you?
No, I just promised him I would do that.
Oh, he's going to be she's in trouble.
You better say hi to the others.
Hi, Taylor. Hi, Bobby.
There you go.
So, yeah, he played AAA hockey, and he had a tournament in Boston. And before everything that
mom
I do,
stuff first.
I'm a mom first. Yep, I'm a mom first. So I had to put that to the side. But I was able to defer my number to this year, and I thought, how cool. It's the 40th anniversary.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't either. So, 40 years. Yeah. So.
All right, so the training starts when?
I have been training for close to 16 weeks. I am not a professional runner by any means.
No, but you're in great shape, right? You work out and stuff?
Yeah, but I haven't always been.
But did you run prior to the 16 weeks?
I did, but I did like 5Ks. I think,
okay.
you know, anyone who runs a marathon, for most of us, it is a journey. It's a learning experience. And I know that sounds corny, but it really is. You really find out who you are.
I'm sure in the middle of some of these runs,
this.
You better get religious.
quick training question for you, too. So yeah. having never run it, I've never have either, but I love to watch. We'll always cover it for radio and TV. But I love to watch and you see people cheering. When you're running, you're going to hear people cheering. And I think that's going to motivate you. But when you are getting ready for this, you don't run the whole thing first, right? So you inch up to it, and now you said you're scaling back a little bit, about a month.
Well, ahead. That's the thing. We've talked about that. You'd never run the full 26, right?
No, you never run the full 26. The longest run that I've done is 20 miles.
Okay.
Because I feel like, and what I've heard from other runners too, the true marathon starts at mile 20. The rest from 20 to 26, that's all heart. That is all.
Well, it's
heart.
Like, you know, Maureen, my wife is, by the way, it's her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. But she's run a bunch of these, and mm-hmm. it always threw me. It's like if I was going to run 26.2 miles, well, first off, I'd take an Uber. But if I was going to go 26.2 miles, I would want to prove to myself that I could run 26.2 miles.
Yeah.
So that's a mental hurdle, right? But I guess the point is we've heard this from elite runners. You want to get past the wall.
Right.
You want
yes.
to see what your body does to 20 miles.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that
yes.
the deal?
Oh, yeah. You definitely, you know, when I was first training, I heard about the wall and, yeah.
Not the Trump wall, kids. The wall of pain.
The wall of pain. Yeah.
Not the Trump wall.
Well, they're
wall.
Kind of the same. Yeah. But, just, yeah different.
But there definitely is a wall and it's all mental and you have to fight past that little voice in your head that says, just walk. just slow down. You don't need to do it, this and that. And if you can push through that and you make it to the finish line, I mean, I know it sounds corny, but it's like euphoria. It's like you really take your body to the edge and you see how strong you are and what you are capable of doing.
There's the religious part of it, right? The spiritual part of it. What's the biggest challenge of the training? Sticking to it?
Staying consistent. I always tell everybody, anyone can do this, but you almost have to be OCD about your training. I mean, my husband knows, like, my long runs on Saturday, everything revolves around that long run.
Well, let's be honest. Most of the marriages have revolved around your things. That's why I'm your therapist.
No, stop. Poor thing.
But it's true. You really, if you set a goal and you do this, you have to do it. And I feel the more people you tell, the more I think you will complete your goal. Because if you don't tell anybody, then it's so easy, right, to back out and say, well, it just didn't work out, or I'm not going to do it this year.
Maybe some other time.
Yeah.
Can you hang around for a second? Because we haven't really finished this, and we got to get to Coach Fitz. If you can hang around for a few minutes, we'll pick this up, and people can text in questions. And anything you ever wanted to ask a first-time marathoner, 312-981-7020. We'll pick it up after Coach Fitz. News next, first on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Time now for a preview of Northwestern football. Dave Bennett, the voice of the Cats, is here. And Coach Fitz is here as well. Do you take any time, Coach, on a bye week to kick back? How's that work out for you?
Yeah, no, it was pretty busy. You know, we started the week recruiting and finished with some practices and then enjoyed Saturday watching a little bit of football and went to my son Brendan's youth hockey game and back into a normal game week this week.
And all of this brought to you by
the Fields Auto Group.
So, Coach, it's not exactly a pushover. It's Wisconsin. They're good. They're really, really good. What's that do as far as prep goes? I mean, you know, do you go through the normal game plan process, or is there something special you got to do for Wisconsin? Extra cheese curds?
Yeah, no, I mean, you go through your same routine. It's hopefully you've built it where you're getting your guys ready regardless of who the opponent is, and you put a lot of focus on execution. And obviously with both of us having a kind of unique situation, both having a bye last week, and especially early here in the season, a little bit of a unique situation, but just need to continue to be consistent. We've had two I think especially offensively really good performances that hopefully we can springboard off our last time on the field. But, like you said, Wisconsin's an outstanding team. They're going to present a lot of problems for us.
Coach, in general terms, how much do teams really hold in abeyance during the non-conference season as they get ready for the Big Ten? Are you holding back as much as everybody thinks?
No.
It's a fair answer.
Yeah, no, I wish it was that easy. I would do that if I could. Yeah, no, I don't think – I think you build upon what you do, and, you just continue to evolve in all three phases as the season goes along. But to say that you're holding anything, I don't know if anybody in the country is good enough to do that.
Interesting. All right, so this series, and I've seen a lot of these games, and you've been – played
well,
in
I
them
hope you've seen
them.
All of them.
Well, not going back to the 30s.
Well, certainly through Coach Fitz's tenure.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. But in over the past more than 30 years, this series is dead even.
Is that right?
It's pretty amazing. It's like the Bears and Packers. It's 13-13 since 1985. And both programs have had some tremendous years and some years where they've both been battling. So is there anything in particular that stands out to you about this rivalry with Wisconsin?
Well, I think especially as of late, and when I say as of late, I mean since 1995, we had a little bit of contrasting styles, offensively especially, that, Wisconsin's always been, you would say, a two-back, but now they're kind of more of a multiple tight end offense, and we've been more of a spread since 2000. And even when we went up there early in my career, when we had Lenny and the Jets, Mr. Cat, you remember those days?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we were a little bit different. So, but I think just respect. I think both programs really respect each other. Our proximity, we're very close to each other. And, they've just been really hard-fought, tough games. And, very similar to our rivalry with Iowa. You know, that maybe we don't play Wisconsin and Iowa for trophies, but since we've become relevant again in the Big Ten, these games have definitely been battles.
Well, I salute your staff and your guys, too, because without the leadership of Coach Fitz and all those great coaches, this would still be kind of an upside-down thing, and now it's turned into a real look-forward-to-it game on the Big Ten schedule in both cities, and a hot rivalry gets hotter every year. However, Coach, if there's a headache for you in game planning, I feel like it could be partly my fault. Wisconsin's got a big fella named Troy Fumagalli who grew up in my neighborhood and grew up essentially with my kids. And I feel like, Coach, if I had encouraged him to maybe play the violin when he was little instead of pursue a football career, maybe I could have helped you out. But who knew then?
I thought it was the other way around. I think he's having a success because he didn't listen to you at all. So
that's fair. That's fair, yeah.
Now, you want to talk about a great football player. Wow, he's outstanding, and we got our hands full with him. You could put him in the short list as the top tight end in the country, and he's had just a wonderful career.
Yeah, and hi to his parents, Doug and Char, and the family. They're good folks.
How much comfort do you get from having a third-year starter at quarterback who's been up to Camp Randall and won a game there?
Well, I think he understands what he's getting into. You know, this is one of those, again, and we'll play in a bunch of them, cathedrals of college football where, the fan base is ready to rock starting tonight at about 8 o'clock, and I don't think it'll end until maybe Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And so it'll be a great atmosphere, but he's been there. But again, Wisconsin presents all kinds of problems that makes it incredibly challenging.
We're going to let you get back to work because we feel like when you take these 5 minutes off on a Friday, it throws your whole rhythm off for the week.
Again, I'd love to tell you that this really distracts me, but I do appreciate talking to you, Steve.
Well, at least let me live in that vision that I have some impact on your world.
I would say it would be the low light of my week.
Well, listen. Yeah, you're not the first guy to say that this morning. It's Coach Fitz from your Northwestern Football Wildcats pregame tomorrow. When?
At 10:30 tomorrow morning, Central Time.
All right, and I know Dave's looking forward to it as
Absolutely.
Well. Get a big win, Coach.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Go Cats.
There
Bye-bye.
You go.
And again, Coach Fitz, brought to you by the Fields Auto Group.
Everything you always wanted to ask a first-time marathoner, in quotes, everything you always wanted to ask a marathoner, all those questions, like, should I do it next year? What should I do? What did you go through? That type of thing. Textures.
How important the playlist is.
Sure, if you're wearing, yeah, sure, 312. I actually, when I run, I'm going to have a band follow me nearby.
Like a marching
and just
band?
Play. Well, maybe for part of it. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're back with that after this.
And play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
I know when I was watching marathons, when Birthday Maureen would run those, I had to train. Because, you're standing for, 4 or 5 hours.
Trying to go, woo!
Very few places to really sit, take a load off, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming to watch the marathon on the 8th, is it the 8th?
Yeah,
yes,
it's the 8th, yeah.
On the 8th, should be
October.
Great.
October.
All right, Vanderbilt, do you run all the time? You got a question for a first-time marathoner? And I say first-time in quotes again.
I just, how are you keeping yourself focused? Because I tried this about 5 years ago, and I injured myself 3 weeks prior to the marathon. So I never did quite make it to run a marathon. But I was finding myself, I felt like so selfish doing it all the time because, with the kids and everything. How are you keeping yourself focused?
Well, I think, for me, I just have the type of personality that once I set a goal, once I fully commit to that goal, I have to see it through. And I am pretty much, I would put every week on my calendar how many miles that I had to run, and I stuck to it. I mean, when you commit to it, everything else kind of goes around the wayside. So my long runs were normally on Saturday, so it just became a part of my life that every Saturday, my family knew I was getting up early in the morning to run. And it's a short period of time in your life. I mean, most training sessions are, you know, 12 to 16 weeks. Mine was 16 weeks long. So I think when you decide to do this, you really, really, really have to stay committed. And when I would do my long runs, I would really just focus on how I would feel crossing that finish line.
He's a very supportive family, obviously.
Well, yeah, I do. I do.
And Mary doesn't. Mary's husband is sitting out in the garage shooting skunks.
Well, yeah, when I sprained my ankle, I didn't even call any of my kids. I'm like, you know, I walked back by myself, and I thought, this is stupid.
That voice you hear is Jackie Brage. She's the marathoner we're talking to. What'd you say, Mary?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, I thought you had so much you wanted to throw in. You asked a question off the air.
The playlist, you said it's really important. I said, because do you listen to music? And because a lot of the some don't, some find it distracting, but most, I would say, do. So, but you said the playlist is super important.
I do. I feel like, as my husband can attest, like, I download music every week. I like fresh music, and it's all over the place. Like, I have slow songs, I have AC/DC, I have so that when you're running, you can just kind of click through your playlist, and whatever you're feeling at that moment, you can click to that song. And sometimes it's just that song that brings you to that next level, like, all right, I got this.
Yeah,
I got this.
You run to a TED Talk, don't you?
I love watching. I already told Jackie where I'm going to be. I always kind of stand toward the finish line just because it's close walk. Because it's usually where I get stopped because all the streets are closed, and it's as close as I can get to where I live.
Right.
But it is so much fun. If you've never watched a marathon, just stand there for half an hour, and you know, you can't help but go, you know, pick it up, Jackie, because, you know, your name's right. on your bib.
Right.
Somebody asked if you stopped to pee.
Never. Like, for me, when I commit, when I start at that starting line...
So you pee
line,
training during the week? You pee ahead of time?
No, I just pee along the race. No, I'm kidding.
Well, a lot of people do. A lot of people do.
No, I don't do that. For whatever reason, I just... You know what? You are just giving off so much energy, and it takes everything. You sweat it out. I just never have. No, yeah. It's never been an issue for me.
Yeah, I was in the enlarged prostate marathon. We stopped every 14 feet. There's a couple of people that texted about Cornerstone to bring it back full circle.
Yeah.
And one of which, we have a little text machine issue here, but one of which I wanted to get to you, if I can find it again quickly. Here it is. My grandson was living there, and now he's reunited with me. It's a wonderful place. It's a godsend. Just want to let you know to thank your guest.
Aww.
That should make you feel good.
That's really awesome.
And your husband as well.
Yes.
So, nice job by both of you guys. Yes, Dave.
I have a question. Are you going to carbo load?
You know, I'm not a professional, but I will try and eat a little bit better. I know this sounds really bad, but I'm kind of OCD about what has worked for me. So, every time before I have a long run, I have a cheeseburger.
Oh, that's awesome.
The day before I run, and I feel like I have...
Why would you feel badly about it?
Well, because, you know, most marathon runners, they're probably, like, you know, eating, like, fresh zucchini.
It's not true.
No. You know, like, sautéed vegetables and all this, and I'm like, I need to have that cheeseburger before I do my long
run
the
next
day.
What's the name of the ultra marathoner we talked to? Was it Dean Karnazes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who eats pizza while he runs.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. He has pizza delivered to him while he runs. Mm-hmm. And there's pictures of him. He's holding pizza, and he's eating it while he runs. Just fuel in, fuel out.
I mean, I do bring, like, those little goo packets when I run, and I do use them every, like, 6 miles. It just helps kind of... give your body, you know, the nutrients that you need and the energy that you need when you're running. But, good cheeseburger the day before you run.
That's fantastic. It's protein.
Awesome.
It's protein.
Exactly.
Traditional, David.
I eat half the bun.
Yeah.
Traditional is a big plate of pasta.
A big pot. I think for the marathon, they've always done a big pasta dinner the night before for the people staying downtown.
It's going to be great. You're going to be great. And do you have a time you're targeting?
You know what? Your biggest competition is yourself. Mm-hmm. So my last...
That's true in my case, certainly.
My last big long run was like 4 hours and 52 minutes. So if I can beat that,
that's
awesome.
Great.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's excellent. Have a blast. Let us know what your time is.
Okay, thank you.
We'll do a follow-up. Thank you for coming in. Thank you guys for the work you do for Cornerstone.
Oh,
and for
thank
Chat
you.
Effect as well.
Thank you.
Let's do this. Break back. Big story tease is?
Big story is going to be about O.J. Simpson.
He could be on the golf course.
Yep.
In days.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness he'll have a chance to find a real
That's
killer.
True.
After this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And Glennon, and the ball pops out. Bouncing around at the five, and Green Bay has the recovery.
Randall on him. Oh, look at this ball.
Oh, no.
Followed on again by Green Bay. Martinez with the recovery. Second and 15. Terrible pass is picked off by Clinton Dix. Oh, it's intercepted again. That's Bryce.
Well, I mean, I think you reevaluate every day, you know, so it's not going to be a new novelty.
Number one thing we obviously have to fix is the turnovers because, you know, I'm not giving our team a chance.
Well, I don't think all those were Mike's turnovers. You know, again, there's a lot of people out there that are involved. We had drop balls. We had penalties. There was plenty of stuff to pass around.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said.
Yeah, you know, there's 22. Is there 22 guys out there? How many guys do we have? Somebody should count them.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. He slept about 8 minutes. You won't like him when he's cranky. Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer on your Chicago Bears and the travesty in Green Bay. Hamp, what did I say, 31-7 and it's like 35-14? I wish I was wrong.
Well, we were both, unfortunately, pretty accurate in the overall arching, you know, prediction of a debacle. And as the travesty continues, you know, It was a bizarre evening. It was strange, and I got to tell you, if there was ever a night you wanted to videotape the conference room, that was last night. And during the 47-minute pain delay, we all decided, you know, that the inevitable, you know, what was going to happen. We basically predicted it play by play, blow by blow. So, you know, I got to tell you the. You know, we talked early in the year about the clock being on John Fox. Ryan Pace, by his refusal to do the proper and the correct thing, sometimes, his silence is making him complicit, and this is really getting to the point where, you know, anger gives way to frustration, and now... It's on the verge of, you know, what really drives me out of my mind is, you know, we talk about, you know, we're not as good as certain teams. You know, we don't have as good a quarterback as Green Bay does. We don't have as good a receivers as Green Bay does. But nobody's telling us we got to be stupid. So what do? We go into Green Bay and defer, basically saying, okay, Aaron Rodgers, you're the greatest quarterback of all time against this franchise, the Chicago Bears. We want to make sure we make it fair by giving you the ball first and letting you get a 7-0 lead. And then we, thinking outside the box, thinking they're going to know we ran, so we're going to say, oh, we're going to run play action, and we're going to shock them. And they brought a 5-man rush and a strip sack. And 56 seconds later, we're down 14-0. It's game, match, set. And then the rain comes. And I got to tell you, it wasn't a pleasant evening in the conference room.
You know, I have to tell you, Hemp, that I understood the Bears' plans for Trubisky. And I was okay with it. I thought they presented a logical argument when they laid it out. They said, we're going to have this other guy. He's going to be the starter. Trubisky, will take our time with him. Let him learn it. You can't go forward with that anymore. You've reached a point where he's got to play, and now you've got the opportunity to play him. He's not going to melt. He's not going to fall apart. He'll have some bumps along the way, but Why would you not at this point?
How could the bumps be any worse than what we saw?
Well, that's my point. Well, yeah. I mean, they're worried about somehow sacrificing him. I don't see it.
There's a lot invested in and the future of the Bears with this kid, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
So much more than just a second overall pick. We traded up 4 picks to get him. When you do that, you're basically signaling, this is Moses. We're going after Moses. We got him. Now, it's okay to have plans. You know, in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey was supposed to go to college, but things happened, and he didn't get to go. You got to be the man. You got to take over. And at some point, the fraud has got to, read the writing on the wall. And we talked about this. See, they miscalculated. They thought the kid was special, so that's why they traded up. But they were shocked that he was that special, that he outplayed their $28 million bust in the preseason. Everybody on the team, everybody in the stands, everybody in the league knew, hey, Glennon shouldn't be playing. And especially in an offense that is so physically limited on the outside with playmakers, you need somebody at that position that's dynamic. Did you hear last night? And Tony Romo, I never heard him do a game before. And I thought he was okay. He was trying to be awful cute and shucksy, and smirky. But he made some good points. And I don't know how many times he said, they got to move him. Mr. Romo, he doesn't understand. They don't do it because they know he can't. Mike Glennon cannot run a bootleg effectively, on the move, be able to throw competently. You're taking, this whole second and third dimension of the offense away because he's incapable. That would be possible with Trubisky. So more than that, though, the coaching decisions week after week and the preparation. And, OB was screaming about Cody Whitehair, and his bad snaps. And, the one when Glennon did the double, a silent count leg pump and all those things. That has to be done in preseason games during the noise, during the chaos, during the practices of preseason. So you don't do it on prime time Thursday night football. But Cody Whitehair never played center the last year in training camp. But he played the whole year at center. He never played center in training camp this year, but he started at center in the very first game. So all of these just idiotic things that we're having to overcome now and deal with is because of a lack of preparation. And again, at some point, you just got to, you got to cut your losses and say, this is what we have to do. And you and I, and each and every week we get on here, and all we talk about are problems. We never see many solutions.
The secret to being bad at your job is a lack of preparation, in case you kids wanted to make notes from today's segment. Hamp's back in a moment. More to talk about, including the defensive end for the Bears and what you do against those Vikings coming up outside of the Trubisky era about to start. All right, at 7:52, let's do traffic first. Here's Mary. Hamp, of course, again, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'd like to thank Andre for playing the 80s guitar this morning. We continue with the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I know we've beaten this to death, but just briefly, Ham, if Mike Glennon was a winner in an era, in a time in Tampa when a coach was fighting for his job, he would have been playing. Didn't matter who was in front of him. That's why the deal was so confusing at the time. Regardless of how everybody feels
Steve, the kid did play, and he played Tampa into the first overall pick in the draft. When you hear, how many times did you hear Dick to tell you that Walter was a leader?
Right.
I mean, you didn't have to. You knew it.
Right.
When you hear the coaches go, oh, well, he's got great leadership. Mike Glennon has all the qualities of leadership except somebody following him that can accomplish something. So at some point, they're blowing it in your face, and you got to put your raincoat on. This is it's beyond the pale. And I'll tell you this, you know, Zach Miller had a couple of good plays last night. He's kind of been lost. You know, when you don't have any wide receivers, you'd think it would be tight end centric as far as the back. But, you know, Glennon is guessing and throwing it in pre-snap conceived places where, you know, he's not waiting for the tight ends to open or get open. So I can understand why, you know, Zach Miller would be frustrated. But he said after the game, this is beyond embarrassing, and, you know, there has to be changes. Yep. Here's code. Hey, the kid is the player. Hey, somebody slap Fox in the head and tell him, hey, it's time to make the change.
Hamp, what were your thoughts on the hit by Trevathan on Devontae Adams?
You know, I got to tell you, I played on the defense, and we hit people hard, viciously hard. And yep. But there's a point where it crosses the line. And that in my mind, that hit would have crossed the line a long time ago. But now, when every time you turn around, we hear this, oh, CTEs, and oh, we can't have targeting, and oh, we can't have anyone hit with the crown of that. For him to do that in a deliberate fashion when Bryant was basically wrapped up and waiting, and again, you know, the officials, they were asleep at the switch. They should have been blown. Well, for him to make that shot, I'm just telling you, if they don't do something about that, and I'm not saying, you know, they have to. I'm just telling you, if they're telling me all this time, oh, we've got to change the game, we got to protect, and they don't do something about, you know, laying down whether a fine or suspension on that hit, then all whatever they've said, you know, is all noise, because that's I can't remember a more violent hit in the last 20 years.
Well, that's a big deal coming from you. It really is.
Yeah,
all right.
It is. I'm just saying it's hey, and I understand, hey, you're playing hard, and I got it. That hit 30 years ago would have been, you know, in the gray area. Today it's beyond the pale.
Well, but again, it's a longer discussion, but the difference between tackling 30 years ago and now is like night and day. Now I'm a missile. Before it was, I'm going to hit you as hard as I can possibly hit you and maybe even turn your lights out, but I'm going to tackle you. It's just changed. It's changed for the worse, not the better.
And I like the kid. I like Danny Trevathan. He's one of the hardest players.
Important deal. He's an important part of the offense, and if he gets suspended over this, it gets even dumber.
Yeah, exactly. We've got two inside linebackers down already, so what, we want to have three outs? So, I mean, again, there's a doubt. There's no accountability, and players need to understand. You do that, there's going to be consequences. Well, it's like nobody cares because there has been no accountability. When the quarterback can turn the ball over four times in a game and the coach doesn't say, this is insane, we got to make a change, everybody thinks, hey, it's a free-for-all. We can do what we want.
You know, I've been friends for a long time. I guess I just close with this. I'm sorry you had to see that last night. And, you know, if you need any sort of comfort later, call me or Dave and we'll talk you off the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I'm expecting a call from OB at any minute, wondering exactly how we're going to get through this week.
All the best, buddy. He is the best. He's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
8:15 and Dean Richards live from Channel 9. Hello, Dean.
Good morning. Happy anniversary.
Not, what, for what?
Isn't that the 1,000th broadcast?
That'd be Monday.
Oh, it's Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Today's 999.
Well, in case I forget on Monday.
Why don't you come by Monday? I mean, you don't do much in the morning, do you?
I'll have to check and see if I can get away from my day job for this.
You should probably cover it anyway. Everybody's talking about it, the 1,000th show.
I'm sure all the big news crews will be there.
Yeah. And a ball of vowel should be about town or running around over there. We'll be at the Hawk store Monday for the show.
Just one block away?
Is it one and a half, maybe two?
Are you walking or are they sending a car for you?
I have people bringing me over there. They're lifting me up and carrying me over.
How great would that be if you arrived on one of those things like Cleopatra, you know, have like the interns carrying you?
Yeah. Yeah. Andre and I are already stretching to carry him, Dean.
Across the bridge.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Dave and I were just going to take, you know, just each one of each leg on each shoulder. Mm-hmm. I thought that'd kind of be.
Well, it'd be easier. I've been losing
like
a little weight.
Move.
So,
yeah.
You know, dropped a few pounds.
Unfortunate if there were some kind of accident right on the Chicago River Bridge.
Right on the bridge?
Oops. Or over the bridge.
Yeah, Dave sneezes or pretends he sneezes. Next thing you know,
Oh,
1,000 show is Monday. You can join us live from 6 to 10 at the Blackhawk Store, 333 North Michigan Avenue. On-site giveaway, special Steve Cochran 1,000 show t-shirts. Hey, I know a guy who gets you a t-shirt if you come by.
Wow.
You know, we'll also cover it on social media for you as well, obviously. But come out and celebrate with us. Going to be a fun time Monday.
Yeah, big things
Dog planned. Store. Oh, like you wouldn't believe. It's going to be huge. Huge.
Steve is going to be featuring every single guest that he's had on the show for the last 1,000 programs.
Well, you know Mike Jacobson because he produced your show for quite some time. Didn't he? Didn't Mike work with you?
Mike, no.
Yeah. Have you ever met Mike?
I have met Mike.
But he does great.
I did.
Mike doesn't work weekends.
He does great. These great packages, right? He does these great hooks. These great, we call them bumps. Ins and outs from various segments and things. He's a twisted mind. He's a genius. So he was thrilled when I said, go back and listen to all 1,000 shows and pick some highlights, will you? We should do that. We should give away all 1,000 shows.
The joke's going to be on you when he calls in sick on Monday.
Have you thought about this? Because you're on the radio every Sunday. Remember when you would save your shows?
Oh, yeah.
Like on a cassette tape?
Well, Dean and I are old enough to remember reel-to-reels. You save reel-to-reel tape. And then you'd save cassettes. Well, you know what you have to do now? You got to dump them. You got to dump them to a drive of some kind.
Yeah, right. That's too much trouble.
It's a lot of work.
Send them to a Vimeo.
I'm like the first 10 years of Carson. I don't know that any exist.
I had some, but the last time that I moved, I got rid of them because, number one, I'm tired of moving them. But number two, I listened to some of them, and I'm too afraid they'll fall into unfriendly hands.
We did talk here about doing bringing your first job tape. We'll play them on air.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious. We should do that.
Mine from 1470 WTKO Ithaca.
Oh.
And then I went to 1230, the Big Weenie. W-E-N-Y.
What? Is that what it was, really?
Yeah, it was W-E-N-Y, the Big Weenie.
I was 1590 WLTD, the Sound of the Shore. They had a ship's bell in the studio, and whenever you said the Sound of the Shore, you were supposed to ring the ship's bell.
Oh,
when
see?
You said it.
Wait, I could give you a worse one than that. Mine was Rock 107 WPGU, Rock and Roll Till the Cows Come Home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
That was mine too, Andrea.
That's hilarious. Dave, by the way, worked at that dump BBM when he first got out of...
Was that your first gig?
Well, it was my first job out of college. Yeah, in college. I started there while I was in college.
You need to sacrifice. You need to go to where the cows come home station.
Rock 107.
Now, I'm okay where I am, but thanks. Thanks for the offer.
Here's what's coming up. The Julia Louis Dreyfus News. Will and Grace. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Sarah Jessica Parker. An event this weekend we want to plug in a whole bunch of movies. Stand by, more with Dean right after traffic and a couple other things.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh. Back to Dean at Channel 9. You got a big weekend ahead?
What?
You have a big weekend ahead.
What do I have coming up here? Let's see. Not my big thing this weekend is going to be hosting the opening ceremony for the annual AIDS Run and Walk just outside of Soldier Field on Sunday morning.
Are you covering that?
Yes, I'm covering that, Dean. So would you be available for an interview at 7:15, 7:40, 8:15, and 8:40?
Let me check my schedule. I'm not sure.
Okay. What?
I'll have to talk to my people.
I think what Dean meant
was, the A-lister.
Of course, talk to me.
I need the A-listers, Dean.
That's what I mean. You probably can shoot a little higher.
We'll see you out there.
No, it's going to be fun. A beautiful day. Amazing cause, once again, with all the proceeds going to the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. And so, we're looking forward to everybody. It's a big morning. There's a lot of events going on. So, hopefully you'll be able to pick one that suits you properly.
And do you engage in the walk, or do you have people that walk for you?
I make a donation, but I do not walk because I'm going to do the opening ceremony and then come back to WGN to do my radio show.
Right. So you don't walk then?
I have my job, yeah. Well, I'll walk back to the station.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's not 10K, but it's from Soldier Field back to
that's a good hike.
WGN.
Yeah, it's a good hike. Plus, it's a rough neighborhood.
Unless I get a cab.
There's parts of the Magnificent Mile that you don't want to be on, I'm telling you.
I hear the kids love those Ubers.
Yes, the Ubers are very popular. What do you think of the Julia Louis-Dreyfus announcement? I thought the way she handled it was pretty cool.
It was very nice. Shocking news. She gets this news that she was diagnosed with breast cancer one day after her record-breaking Emmy wins 2 weeks ago. And sends out a beautiful tweet saying, 1 in 8 women get breast cancer today. I'm the one. And then she wrote, good news is that I have the most glorious group of supporting and caring friends and fantastic insurance through my union. The bad news is that not all women are so lucky. So let's fight all cancers and make universal health care a reality. So, also expressing her opinion there, the social media flooded with messages of support for her, including a photo that former Vice President Joe Biden tweeted, a picture of them when they spoofed the vice presidency during the 2014 White House Correspondents' Dinner. And he wrote, "We Veeps stick together. Jill and I and all the Bidens are with you, Julia." So
pretty nice.
Wish her the best. She's 56 years old. She did not say the severity of the cancer, the stage, what kind of treatment that's going on. But nothing but best wishes for her. She's one heck of a person.
I am annoyed with myself because I'm watching that miserable Bears game last night, and I forgot Will and Grace was on.
The Bears game was the number one most watched television event last night. Apologize to those of you who chose to watch that misery. But the number two most watched show in Chicago last night was The Return of Will and Grace, and I did watch it.
I assume it was funny?
Yeah, it was funny.
Uh-oh. I hear a little hesitation in your voice.
No, well, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting a lot of the Will and Grace and Jack and Karen, pretty much. I think I was expecting a lot of the old characters to be returning, and they really did not. It was the storyline is they were kind of conflicted with their crushes and their jobs, with their political views. It was very Donald Trump oriented. Some of it was set in the Oval Office. Karen Walker is, on this reboot, is supposed to be really close friends with the Trumps. And, Grace has had the opportunity to pitch redecorating the Oval Office. So some of it was set in the Oval Office.
That's funny.
Sean Hayes, Chicago's own Sean Hayes, as always, hilarious. There were a lot of laughs in it. For a first episode, I thought it was great. I think I was just expecting to see, all the old regulars coming back again. But they did a nice job at kind of setting where they are now, what's happened since they've been on the air last time. And I can't wait to see the next one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Dean. So it looks like it's. I know it's too early to say if it's going to be renewed, but it looks like it's going to be a good first season.
I think it already has been renewed.
Oh, good.
I think I read that a few days ago. But yes. I'm looking forward to it. You can see clearly the writing is still great. Mm-hmm. Clearly, all of their characters are intact. Nothing feels like oh, they shouldn't have revived that. You know, it all feels great, and it was a really good episode, really, really good episode.
Curb comes back Sunday.
Can't wait for that. I can't give you one detail about it. Because Larry David is being super secretive. They're saying it's going to be a little, Larry David darker. So, we'll see what that means. But very much looking forward to that on HBO. And kind of speaking of that, remember back in the day when, Sunday night was like the HBO night? You'd watch The Sopranos. Sex and the City was a very funny musical show about people who sang in high voices.
Yeah.
With Sopranos, Sex and the City was that, big Sunday night lineup. Sarah Jessica Parker the other day was asked if there would be more Sex and the City, and she said, absolutely, categorically, never going to happen.
Oh, that was a good tease, Dean, because I thought you were going to say...
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I set it up then.
So, and
the reason is
like the Friends thing. They just feel like they're done, and they're
Sex and the City 2, the movie really wasn't that good.
Right.
So, the first one wasn't bad. I have to say, I did kind of enjoy the first movie, but they should have stopped there.
Yeah, they should have stopped there. The second one, it was bad. The second one was
weren't they in a desert somewhere?
Trying to be nice. Yeah, in Dubai they were. Yeah. Taking their adventures to Dubai. But anyway.
Sex in the desert. I'm trying to get the sand out of you then.
Oh, Steve, that's so Miranda of you to say that.
I'm hopeful for this new Tom Cruise movie. And we talked about it briefly the other day. I would like this to be good. Not because I'm a Tom Cruise nut, just because it looks like it's an entertaining movie.
And your wish will be fulfilled.
Nice.
It is. It's a good movie. It's called American Made. Based on a true story, Tom Cruise, a former TWA pilot who gets invited to work for the CIA to take reconnaissance pictures in South America. This is set in the late 70s and the early 80s. So a lot of what you see, some actual footage of news events that were going on then are kind of fun to watch and kind of nostalgic. But he gets... recruited by the CIA. He gets involved with running drugs for the Medellin drug cartel. And Steve, all heck breaks loose in this movie. It's kind of light action, light comedy. The thing that I like about this best, I think, is Tom Cruise doesn't take himself seriously at all in this movie the way that he sometimes does and thinks that he's a 20-year-old action star. He, in many ways, is like almost poking fun at himself a little bit in this movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Gave it a Dean's List B.
And Dame Judi Dench in Victoria and Abdul?
Yes, it's a very lovely story, also a true story, about Queen Victoria and an Indian servant who is sent to be part of a ceremonial event, and she just takes a liking to this guy.
It sounds much like the story of Mary Vanderbilt.
Is that how Mary got the job?
Mary Vanderbilt once had an Indian servant who would bring her traffic reports.
Oh, I thought you meant that's how Mary got the job.
What?
At WGN, being a servant to you.
Sometimes I like to just test to see if she's listening to the show.
I was like, what? I still don't get it. But okay.
It's Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench, this Bollywood actor, both very charming. His name is Ali Razal. And it's a story about friendship. And he goes from being her servant to her assistant and teacher and really kind of best friend in this lonely world that she lives within the castle walls. It's a very, very lovely and heartwarming story. I gave that one Dean's List B+. Like that one very much.
And a redo of Flatliners, which didn't need to be done, and apparently nobody gets to see it.
Yeah, they did not screen that one for the critics.
And what does that mean, Uncle Dean, when they don't show it?
Studios are so proud of the movie, they don't want to appear to be bragging by letting critics see it. You're on your own with that one. One that you may want to check out if you're a Pearl Jam fan, the Pearl Jam concert film / documentary that they shot at Wrigley Field for their two shows at Wrigley Field last year is in a theater today. It's only at the Arclight Theater on the north side on like North Avenue near Clybourne. And it's only going to play for a week
and then it's going to go to a TV platform after that. But it's worth seeing. If you're a Cubs fan, you're going to love it. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, you're going to love it. Really well-made documentary. It's called Let's Play 2. I'm recommending that one as well.
And plug your Sunday morning again?
Sunday morning, I'll be out at the AIDS Walk, and we'll be Jim Toronto is going to be sitting in the chair in studio for me, and I'll be checking in during the 9 o'clock hour, and then I should be back in studio by 10 o'clock, and we'll have my interview with Dame Judi Dench and also Eddie Izzard, who is in the Judi Dench movie as well. So got some good stuff on Sunday morning.
Eddie's great.
And Andrea will be out at the AIDS Walk with us as well.
Yes. And it sounds like if you play your cards right, Andrea might put you on TV.
I need the A-lister, Dean. I need you.
I think I can pull some strings and find one for you somehow.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Excellent.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
849. We continue with CLTV joining us at 9. This is show number 999. Show 1000 Monday from the Blackhawks store, Blackhawks home opener, and every Hawks game. The good times start again next Thursday. Hope you've got some of the exhibition action here, but John and Troy will have the call for all of it. Happy to see you and welcome into the studio, Darren LaHood, congressman from the 18th, home to see his family and do his laundry before he heads back after a busy week in Washington. As a matter of fact, before I say hi to Darren, Jake, do you have that Steve Scalise sound from yesterday? This is the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, who was nearly killed when that assassin went to the softball practice or the baseball practice prior to the big charity baseball game in Congress and opened fire. Here's what it sounded like when Scalise came back to work yesterday.
And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I'll tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in God's hands. But he really did deliver for me and my family. And it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate. So I'm definitely a living example that miracles really do happen.
And that was the more gentle applause of several rounds of applause and standing ovation yesterday. I know you haven't had a chance to know Scalise for long, but what was that like?
You know, it was a really emotional and amazing day in the House to have Steve come back. You know, June 14th, he was gunned down on the baseball field, Steve, in a tragic accident. Many people thought he wouldn't live. He had to have a tourniquet put on his leg. And to have him walk back into the House with two canes with his wife was really an astonishing feat. And
he looks amazing.
Yeah. You know,
I was very surprised. Did you guys know he was coming?
We just got word that morning that he was going to make it back.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't know in what form, how it was going to be. But to see him walk in there was just an amazing. And his speech, I thought, was excellent. And
sure.
It was a real moving experience.
We don't know what his work schedule will be going forward, but I know it's inspirational to have him back in the House. And it reminded me sort of the McCain moment when McCain came back after his surgery in the Senate. Because of the battle that he's involved with. But it does create, our friend Willie Geist mentioned this morning, these bursts of cooperation between the parties that we need more of.
Yeah, if you saw the bipartisan support yesterday in the chamber, there was a lot of people crying on both sides of the aisle. But Steve is a fighter. It was, you know, a great moment for the House. And let's hope we can capitalize on that and try to get some stuff done.
Now, I know you're not a member of the Trump White House team, but did you want to admit the millions of dollars in private flights you've taken this morning? How about that story?
Really disappointing to see that, particularly when the president ran on, criticizing many of these things and really the lack of transparency and the lack of government accountability. All of these people should be taken to task on it. And using taxpayer money to fly, particularly on private events, is, really disconcerting.
Yeah, you know, it's well documented the problems I have with the president, but I don't expect the president to sit around and monitor the behavior of the Health and Human Services Secretary so that he doesn't steal money from the taxpayers. What Tom Price has done, is ridiculous, and largely because he held up the other party to say, how dare you? And made his name on the fact that he was the anti-pork guy. He was the guy that was going to make sure taxpayers' dollars weren't wasted. What was he thinking?
I think this is what makes people, very cynical of Washington, D.C. when they see stuff like this go on. And you got to hold people accountable for it. That's the bottom line.
I don't think he stays in the job. We'll see. Of course, you got to find somebody that wants a job now. It's a little rough. I want to talk about what you're doing, what you want to talk about to your folks in the 18th and downstaters as well, and get into a little bit of what's happening this week, including, if you got anything you can make us feel better about North Korea, that'd be great, too. But in the meantime, Mary, what about traffic first? What do you have? Congressman Darren LaHood is here. Let me jump to North Korea. How much do you guys get briefed on what's going on? And outside of McMaster, Kelly, and Mattis, what can we take comfort in?
We just had a classified briefing last week from Director Coates from the from the intelligence service, and also General Mattis and General Dumfries. And you know, I think there's concern there. I think we got to be very, very careful about the collateral damage that could be done in South Korea when you have a capital in Seoul that's 90 miles away, where you have 20 million people. I hope the president listens to the smart, bright people around him on this issue, because we got to continue to put pressure on China, work on negotiation. I think the UN resolution that we unanimously passed 2 weeks ago
right.
that puts more pressure is a good thing. But we got to be real careful about engaging in military activity over there, because there's 500,000 Americans that live in Seoul. We have a base over there, and there'll be a large loss of life if we engage in military action.
Instantly.
How about Puerto Rico? I mean, I know the administration, well, Congress in general criticized for the lack of the quickness of the response. Now the supplies are getting there. Thoughts on the aftermath and the cleanup now?
Well, we got to treat Puerto Rico like we did Harvey, and we did Irma in Florida. And I just spoke with Marco Rubio this week. He was down there. I think you're going to see an effort by the House next week to put together a package to make sure that we take care of Puerto Rico the same way we do everybody else here in the United States. That doesn't mean a blank check to rebuild the country, but helping people from a humanitarian standpoint, we have to do that.
Do you have any sense of how fast that could happen?
I think we'll have something in the House towards the end of next week. I think they're trying to put the figures on how much money they need at this point. And it may be something that we do a staggered approach where we give them a few billion right. dollars next week, and then we see what they need a couple weeks after that.
The great concern is how the money is spent, because the government of Puerto Rico, and they have a new governor who seems to be trying to do the right thing, but the huge financial problem. And you don't just throw money at a mess like this. It's got to be directed, and it's got to be a team. We got to get the military on the ground there. The military always handles this stuff.
Yeah, we have to have transparency and government accountability, Steve. They're $72 billion in debt in a country of 3.5 million people. I mean, they have systemic problems financially. Right. This is not going to be a bailout that fixes their systemic problems. It's helping people get back on their feet and get the country going again.
Yeah, they're Americans.
Yeah.
It's our time to go in and do the right thing and save them. What's this tax plan going to be?
Tax plan rolled out this week. You know, we have not had comprehensive tax reform in this country since 1986.
Right.
So we rolled it out this week. If you think about it, the corporate and business tax rate, whether you're a mom and pop shop in Peoria, Illinois, or you're Boeing here in Chicago, pay about 35-36%. By way of comparison, Ireland has a tax rate of 14%, England's at 17%, Canada's at 22%. What we do is bring those rates down to 20% to make us competitive. If you look at comprehensive tax reform, if we do this the right way, it will help generate jobs and economic opportunities for everybody.
How do you pay for it?
How do you pay for it? Great question. We're $20 trillion in debt.
Right.
So you got to figure out how you pay for that. And, you know, we're going to get rid of a lot of these loopholes. There's lots of lobbyists that are going to be upset in Washington, D.C., because we're going to close a lot of loopholes. What we say is, you bring that rate down to 20%, you're going to benefit, but you're not going to get all the little carve outs that you've had for 20 or 30 years that have been put in the tax code. Nobody can defend the tax code as we have it now. If we do this the right way, Steve, we will help create jobs and economic opportunities. We haven't had a growth rate at 3 or 4% since about 1999 or 2000.
Right.
If you get a growth rate at that level, it helps all of us.
Yeah,
helps.
Because the Wall Street economy and the real people economy are two different things.
Absolutely.
The fact that the markets are roaring doesn't mean that everybody is getting theirs.
Yep. And we got to make sure there's about $2.5 trillion parked overseas by companies that under our tax system, they put their profits. Apple, for instance, has $300 billion in Ireland cash. We drop that rate. That money comes back. It's called repatriation. Yeah. What we say in the bill, you have to put that money back into wages, reinvestment, and right. dividends.
Right.
That helps all of us.
Right. It'll take a while for all this to be pared down to an actual bill, and the target is to have it done by the end of the year. I don't know if that's realistic.
I think we'll have a vote in the House by Thanksgiving.
You do?
Well, yeah, I do. And I think we'll kick it over to the Senate by the end of the year. You know, I don't predict what happens in the Senate, but the clock is ticking. People are watching. We have an obligation to govern and fix problems.
And again, this isn't about Trump. This is about doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And before I let you go, in the 18th specifically, and for downstaters, what are you doing?
Well, we the ag economy is big downstate.
Sure.
So trade is very, very important for our corn and soybean farmers. Prices need to get higher. I think trade helps you do that. We have to continue to find ways to have open trade with, we're 4% of the world's population. We have to create more trading opportunities around the world, whether that's in China, Southeast Asia, and those areas. So we got to continue to work on that for our farmers and the regulatory burden on our farmers also.
Yeah, and tell the president, would you, that trade matters to farmers? If he wants to continue to overeat, he's going to need farmers.
Yes.
Say hi to your dad.
I sure will, Steve.
And I'll let your cousin Pete McMurray know it's time to pull your car around.
Thank you.
Good to see you, man.
You too.
Let's see the news. This is Chicago's very own 720. Say hi to CLTV, you guys.
Hey, CLTV. Happy Friday.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:15. Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 1,000 is
Woo!
Monday.
Aren't you excited?
Oh, it's going to be great.
By the way, some of the prizes we have to give away?
Yeah, folks,
so
folks
awesome.
Need to come by to see if they can get some prizes, because honestly, we don't want to pack this stuff back and bring them back to the radio station and just keep it for ourselves. We have limited edition T-shirts.
Yeah.
I'll be giving out 1,000 hugs.
good.
And we just hope you can make it. Yeah.
Will there be finger foods and beverages as well?
Yeah, I'll be making sandwiches for everyone.
Little finger sandwiches?
Yeah.
I think there will be refreshments.
Is there refreshments?
I believe so.
We take care of folks, don't we?
We've been sworn to secrecy, but the prizes we're giving away are really incredible.
333 North Michigan Avenue, right at the corner of Michigan and Wacker. Is in right above, what is that, a Fannie Farmer store downstairs or
it's
something?
It's like a Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae.
Yeah.
So which is what this studio used to be at one time.
Fannie Mae, is that where they do the loans?
That's
Can you imagine if we had
close.
To do this show every day about Fannie Mae? I don't know that I'd be able to sit in this chair.
Well, here's what you don't know. Yeah. One of the discussions we had was potentially being in that building. For the new studios.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, at the Blackhawk store?
Yeah, with the Blackhawk store and the Fannie Mae store.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, come by. You know, I know it's downtown, and I know it's parking, and I know you got problems, and I know you got stuff to do. But if you work in a city, come down 30 minutes early and come by.
Take public transportation. Take a divvy.
Take a divvy and Uber and other weird words that we didn't know 5 years ago.
A spot hero, a divvy,
take
Uber.
A Google, take a Yahoo.
Are we going black tie?
Yeah, what are we wearing?
Yeah, we should talk about the dress code later, too.
Yes.
Casual with Hawks logos.
Okay. How about windbreakers and shorts?
What?
I'm going to wear pants on Monday because I respect the Hawks organization.
Are you wearing a dress, Andrea?
I think I will wear a dress,
Girls are going to have to talk about this.
Dress
I'm not going
for
to
the
that.
1,000th show.
It's going to be warm on Monday.
The
8,
girls and,
so
the girls and Dave, we
there
don't want
go.
To wear
Monday.
The same things.
Oh, can't wear my hoodie. It's going to be too hot.
Oh, it's a little thank you for everybody that has supported this show for 1,000 shows. I haven't been fired, which has to be one of the longer streaks for me. those giveaways, as I said, all morning long. So come out. We got a lot of special guests dropping by as well. Bhu Srinivasan stopping by right now, as a matter of fact. He's written an epic book, as far as I'm concerned. You're going to write your first book and make it an epic book? Well, that's what he did. It's called Americana, 400-Year History of American Capitalism. It doesn't read like a boring textbook. It reads like a movie, and I like that. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me. Is this show 999?
This is 999 that you're on right now.
That's fantastic. I appreciate it.
Well, we're hoping to make it till Monday. You know, it'd be sad if I got fired at 999. So
I'll do my best.
So you have had a career in business, and this is your first book.
It is. It's a debut book, and it took, you know, 5.5 years. I thought I'd be done in a year and a half, but just got sucked down the rabbit hole, and the story just started getting bigger and deeper as I kept exploring. And, you know, it took a couple more years than I thought it would.
So as you go through the book, it's a book of American history, but world history obviously affects American history. And what you've done here is found a way to compress 400 years of capitalism into one handy compendium of collection of thoughts, theories, and really predictions about where we're headed. So what is the state of capitalism now? And where are we on the curve? Are we in a good spot or not so good?
Well, I think we're in a good spot, but I think that at the same note, you know, you have a communist country that happens to be very good at capitalism, and that certainly has caused quite a bit of consternation in the United States. And we've had a tremendous century and a half of very high growth, very high standard of living, and now you have a country that, you know, could potentially become the largest economy in the world in 5 or 10 years. And I think, you know, the form of capitalism we have now, I think there are some questions, and I certainly think that the states that swung to Trump, like the Rust Belt states, there's some deep questions, and I think these deep questions are worth visiting and doing some soul searching over and seeing what the direction should be. You know, that you have some of the dogmas of free trade are up for grabs as well. So I think it's an interesting time, to say the least.
Does it matter if China overtakes us as the world's number one economy as long as we're getting ours and doing our fair share?
That's exactly right. I mean, that is certainly one argument for it. And I think the American standard of living is obviously going to be quite a bit higher than the average Chinese for a long, long time. You know, they have 1.4 billion people that are able to have an economy that's the size of the United States with 320 million people. So it's just the amount of success that we've had in America is obviously very vast. You know, America is the third largest country on earth in terms of population. It's this wealthy. So it certainly is... It's nothing to belittle, and I think it's very significant. But on the other hand, I think that what does it do to the American self-identity if it's not the largest economy in the world? And secondly, I think that these trade deficits between China and the United States are still, you know, at very, very sizable levels. And what happens there? You know, that you know, you have other industrialized economies like Japan and Germany that certainly do not have very substantial trade deficits at all. They have trade surpluses. So I think those are some things for the American economy and American policymakers to really visit.
Bhu, I was going to ask how far we've come, but now that I'm hearing your responses, have we reverted back to the basics in many ways when it comes to capitalism, even back to supply and demand?
Well, I think what's happened is, I don't think we've reverted to those things, but I think that the next big things in American history, like the automobile, for instance, from 1914 onwards, you know, the producer, the worker on that assembly line was also a very good consumer. So you had these next big things that would create tremendous number of jobs. So in the construction industry, when suburbia is being built in the 50s, you have tremendous number of jobs that are being created. So every time these new industries take hold, it allows the American worker to participate. But the next big things over the past 30 years or so have largely skewed to Silicon Valley. You guys were talking about Uber and all these new things that are coming out in the last 5 years. That's exactly the case, that you have a very small segment of the population, workers in Silicon Valley, that are able to create these very large corporations because that's the nature of technology. Software scales so easily. You don't need factories. You don't need any of these things. It just spreads. And I think that those dividends have largely accrued to one part of the population in terms of labor. Consumers have also benefited throughout, obviously, in the country. But those next big things haven't created a lot of jobs. And I think that that's the kind of the dilemma that we're in. And it's a new dilemma. You know, there isn't a perfect historical parallel for that.
The capitalist economic boom times that we've loved in this country have all started after some horrible events. The Industrial Revolution came after the Civil War, after World War One. You had the Roaring Twenties. You had happy days after World War II, and and decades of economic growth. Do we need a war to make sure that people are fully employed?
No, hopefully not, and hopefully that's just a pattern. But that's certainly just a pattern that you're seeing that doesn't necessarily have a direct correlation. But it is true that that war has oftentimes refocused people and refocused industry, but it's also a time when democracy and capitalism have both kind of receded. So in World War II, you have the federal government taking over factories and compelling factories to produce armaments. And at the same time, you have lots of constitutional privileges suspended. So certainly you don't want to take the chance that that you have that happen, because there's nothing that enlarges government like war. You know, the Civil War, World War One, World War II. Even the draft, the government is essentially says that it owns its citizens and is able to draft you. So I don't think you necessarily need that. But I think that some fundamental revisiting is certainly required to retune this operating system, to make sure that the system works for everyone, because you can't have states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio where people feel so disenfranchised or unsettled by what's happening in America and what's happening with the American experience, and rightfully or wrongly, it really doesn't make any difference. It just depends on how they feel, and I think that's a unique time that we should reconsider.
Talking to Boo Srinivasan, Americana, 400-year history of American capitalism. Get a couple of copies. You're careless, you'll lose the first one. And you write prominently about Chicago in the book, including a section on bootlegging. What about the capitalism of Al Capone?
That's right, and Al, and he was very, very forthcoming in terms of what he stated. It's very funny when he was being sentenced, the day before he was being sentenced, he gives an interview to the Chicago Tribune, he's being sentenced, during the Great Depression, and he says, here are these bankers that have taken people's money and have lost people's life savings, and yet here I am being sentenced for selling people a little bit of alcohol, something that 99%, he made up his own statistic, but he said something that 99% of the people love. He just served them, alcohol and square games. So obviously the 20s was a rise of organized crime and a bit of lawlessness, where you had prohibition end a very large legal business, and you had this big open market space where you had other elements come in to serve that demand.
It's really fascinating, and I'm telling you, it's a fast read for a book that covers a lot of ground. It's Americana, 400-year history of American capitalism. I hate to break it to you, Boo, you're going to have to write another one now.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say.
I appreciate you being on. Boo Srinivasan. Now, I know I can't assign this to Dave over the weekend because he has a game, but maybe he could read it next week.
Next week, yeah.
Good read.
I wish I had it last week because we had a bye.
Ah, would have been handy. 9:27, we'll come back with a big story on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out.
Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to America's fastest growing game show. Is it Know Your Show? No, it's not Know Your Show. Is it the match game? No, it's not the match game. It's Shop Talk.
Ooh, yeah.
Shop Talk, where you try to stump us by telling us the language of your workplace, and if we cannot guess correctly what you do, you're a big winner. As always, if you lose and we win, you have to send us something from your house. Okay?
I got a car.
Let's go to Dave in Crystal Lake. First correct caller is going to win the Fab Faux tickets. And we have other prizes. We have other prizes as well.
Yeah, and you're doing your 1,000th?
It's Friday. My tongue left a half an hour ago.
Hold on. $9.99 is not over yet.
That's a good point. Dave's in Crystal Lake. All right, Dave, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine. Give us your shop talk, please.
Certainly. Sharpie Pendulum V-notch impact testing showed poor low temperature ductility, less than 20 foot-pounds at minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay, repeat it.
Yeah, give us the, you know, give it to us one more time.
Okay, here you go. Sharpie V-notch pendulum impact testing showed poor low temperature ductility, less than 20 foot-pounds at minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, I think it's obvious now.
Yeah.
I think we've all got it now.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Let's go to Mike Jacobson first. What's your guess?
Waiter.
What?
Waiter?
Waiter? When do waiters talk about foot pumps? Yes.
All right. Climate engineer.
Nope.
Isn't that Tom Skilling, climate engineer?
Hey, when he said pendulum and Fahrenheit, that's what I'm thinking.
Dave.
Producing freeze-dried foods.
Oh. That's a good one, Dave.
That's an interesting answer. Yeah, it's an interesting answer.
But it was wrong.
Yes, it was wrong. Mary Vandeveld.
Heating and air conditioning.
HVAC?
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking. Oh!
Come on.
All right, what's your guess? What's your guess?
Well, Steve, Grzanich is just kind of up your area, Steve.
Are you in, do you drill oil wells?
No.
Are you in the energy business?
No.
Oh, he got us all.
Got a winner. You're a dentist.
A dentist?
Got a winner. Got a winner right there.
Nice job. What is it?
What is it?
Metallurgy.
What?
Oh, metallurgy.
Metallurgy, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Metallurgy.
Wow.
Where did you go to school? I'm just curious, because...
University of Illinois.
I knew you did.
Yeah.
Top metallurgy and mining school in
the
country.
Go ahead, do it. Do it.
ILL.
I and I.
No, Dave, ILL.
You can't say that anymore.
Congratulations. You get the Fab Four tickets, greatest Beatles tribute band of all time at the Vic Theater on Saturday, October 7th. Go to the Vic Theater box office. Let's continue.
Cool.
All right, hold on, man. Kathleen. Kathleen is in Hampshire. Are you in New Hampshire?
I'm in Hampshire, Steve. Good morning.
Nice to talk to you, Kathleen. If you're ready, please give us your shop talk.
Absolutely. I would like to order 5 Parthenocissus tricuspidata in a 1G, 10 Campanula Porschiana in a quart, and 11 Lavendulot.
I think you're a wine buyer.
What language was she speaking?
Some of it was English.
A sommelier?
No, not a sommelier. A wine buyer. Like you buy wine for a liquor store.
Okay. Is that it?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm thinking, since she said tricuspid, I'm thinking a hygienist, a dental hygienist.
Unfortunately, no.
What do you mean, unfortunately? You like putting your hands in people's mouths and they find it unusual since you're not a hygienist?
Fortunately, no.
Okay. Dave.
A dental supply supplier.
No.
Oh,
I feel like we're getting closer, though.
Yeah.
I think it's something in dentistry, Steve. No.
Do you freeze human bodies for preservation?
That's funny. Like a cryogenic.
Steve, I said dentistry, not your weekend.
You guys are getting farther away.
All right.
Oh.
Mary?
Are you in the perfume industry?
No.
An interesting answer. No. Wrong. Hey. Mike?
I'm going to say a florist.
Oh, nice. Now,
That is closer.
Oh,
but not correct.
Yeah, right.
Plant salesman.
A horticulturist.
I think you got to give yourself the buzzer. Yeah. All right, what's the answer?
I own a landscape company.
Oh, that's not close to florist.
Yes,
very nice, but that's not close
that's
to florist.
Scientific,
that's
man.
Where do you do landscaping?
Cool.
In Marengo.
All right, well, let's give a plug out for the company. What's it called?
It's called The Growing Scene. We're actually a garden center and landscape company, and we do a lot of work in Huntley, Marengo, Hampshire, this area, although we do travel.
All right. I know you're loaded, but we just want to make sure we make you a little extra money. what's the number to call if people want questions about landscaping for you?
815-923-7322.
I have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, Lou's home, one of Chicago's, or the Chicago's best deep dish pizza. with over 40 locations, and you can order online at lumelmatis.com. Hold on, please. Let's do one more. I feel bad now because we're almost out of time, but yeah.
We stink at this.
I still think she had something to do with dentistry.
I think so, too.
You think she's planting false teeth?
Maybe.
She's trying to sink her teeth into landscape.
I got Susie, a Bob, and a Henry.
Oh.
I mean, I had an Uncle Hank who I didn't like that much, but I don't want to hold that against Henry.
Go Susie.
Susie?
Let's go with the girl.
Give Bob and Henry some consolation prize off the air from Rokon's car. Let's go with Susie here. Good morning, Susie.
Hi. You're going to be glad you picked me.
Yeah.
All right, Susie, when you're ready, please give us your shop talk.
Okay. I have a G3 P2 at 37 and 4 that came in for evaluation of PIH. PC ratio is 372, so we're going to go ahead with an IOL. We're going to start with Cytotec, Q4 hours, and go from there. All of her P&Ls are WNL, including her GBS, which is negative.
Wow. Wow, she got a great job.
Wow. But I got this one. I got this one.
You got it?
Yeah, I got this one.
You want to go first or last?
I'll go last.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say a nurse.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Oh.
Are you a nurse?
I think you have to be more specific, though.
Yeah, you do have to be
specific. Right. Okay, all right, I'll step in.
Are you an ER nurse?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, hit Andre with the buzzer, too.
All right. I get a buzz.
Dave?
Oh. Are you a pediatric nurse?
Nope.
Ooh. Mike. That's incorrect. Mary.
Are you a nurse in a vet office?
No. Oh. I don't think
Do vets have nurses?
I don't think so.
They have assistants.
Oh, they have assistants.
Yeah, they have assistants. Steve.
Okay, you know when you have the...
That's taking too long. Go ahead, buzz. All right. What is the correct answer?
Labor and delivery nurse.
Oh, you deliver baby.
That's kind of what I meant. I said pediatric.
No. The baby has to be popped out before you get a pediatric.
I think now you're being sticklers.
Specifics. I don't know nothing about no babies. There you go.
My sister's a labor and delivery. She's going to be so upset with me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She's going to be disappointed in you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, Dave, the difference between your nurse and what our friend Susie does is... Right there.
That's it.
Pop it
That's
out.
It. Maybe pops out. All right. That's a technical term, Susie. I know you understood it. We're going to give you an apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. See their store in Glenview or buy online at abt.com. And thank you for listening. Show 1000 is Monday. We'll give you another preview next with Bill and Wendy coming up.